So, Doug, you're starting a 7-week tour across Canada with your new record. How's that going so far?
So far, really good. It's been one weekend, pretty much today. Today's the 7th day that we've been on tour. It's been a lot of fun. The tour kickoff itself and everything was like really pretty much my ideal show.
Oh, great.
It was probably my favorite show I've ever played, to be honest. It's like just really packed and everyone was like singing along and everyone just, it felt like a big group hug. And then at the end of the night, at the end of Little Things, I just let everybody out with my ukulele and the whole bar came out onto the patio and we just like, I just played a bunch more songs there and people were like singing along and everything. It was actually like a really important moment.
Yeah. Great.
And then all the rest of the shows on the tour, though, have been really fun. Chilliwack, we had a house show by some really awesome people. We played a guy called Teen Days, and as well as a band called Oh No Yoko, who are like 17 and insanely amazing at like their instruments. They're awesome. You'll probably hear about them in the next like year or two.
Okay.
I imagine, unless they don't break up, you know, because they're 17. Victoria too, same kind of deal. It's like a full-on dance show. We played with this guy Dreamboat, his name's Aaron, and he's like one of my favorite people out there. He's just like really good songs.
In the way?
No, it's fine.
That was a great time. Kelowna, this weird house show, it kind of fell through, but it was still really fun. But yeah, it's basically been a really good tour. Yeah, I guess you don't need a day by day, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's always fun seeing Joe do a set, because even if he does like almost the same songs, it's still somehow, and even though it's like the same lyrics, it's just somehow slightly different. He's just like really engaging and really entertaining to watch, and I've been sort of just discovering my own set slowly throughout the tour a little bit too, in terms of like the lighting, and I wanted to have more of a visual aspect. So
I definitely kind of caught a David Byrne influence from the Talking Heads.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, big time. I love the Talking Heads and David Byrne as a person too. I mean, I've never met him, but definitely hugely influential. Especially the album Remain in Light and Speaking in Tongues. Those two ones are just epic to me. On Halloween, my friend Liam, who you met earlier, Doug, he and I were we have a band called Bike Month, and we got to be the Talking Heads for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And so we learned a bunch of their songs, and it was, we did a set, and I was David Byrne, and it was awesome. It's really funny because like that was almost like a dream of mine since high school to like be in like this like Talking Heads cover band, but it was actually like weird because I got so into it, like really into it, and it was like at the end of like Road to Nowhere, I was like screaming the lyrics and just like so into it, and then like my girlfriend, she said like, I've never seen you get that into music. Like when most of my songs in the past have been more mellow or like poppy or like softer poppy rock stuff, she's like, I've never seen you actually like just freak out at a show and beat, and it felt awesome. And in turn, so doing that when I was still like finishing up and then working on the bulk of the record over the winter, I've been working on it and writing it for like 2 years and some, two or 3 years, but the bulk of the recording was done this winter, and when we were working on that, Calvin McElroy and I, we like were approaching it differently than we'd done anything before for myself. I decided a long time ago that I didn't want it to be like a poppy rock, or sorry, not a pop, but like, sorry, I didn't want it to be just like a guitar or ukulele, just like band vibe. I wanted it to be like a bigger sound and full and not worry about the arrangement so much in terms of like how they're going to perform live. See ya.
Yeah.
I didn't want like the live show to hinder how we like tried something out in the studio. If we got like a cool sound and then not think like, well, oh, who's gonna play that live or how are you gonna do that, or
well, and it's worked out really well actually, the minimal arrangement where it's just you and the ukulele. I was actually very surprised because I was trying to figure out myself how you were going to manage to get the full sound of the record live just by yourself.
Yeah, so using the backing tracks, like at first I was worried that people were going to really resist it. And I think it is a little bit awkward at first at times, but
well, it's getting to be more mainstream now.
It is, yeah, it's a little more mainstream, and I know, and honestly, it's just the way it works for this record. I mean, I might not always do that. Like, when I get back from this tour and start writing some new stuff, I might maybe get more of a band together or something, like a I would like to do that. But yeah, over the winter, like, it was just really interesting to back up a bit with that Talking Heads thing. Like,
yeah.
Being able to, I've listened to them for years, but being able to actually really, like, dissect the lyrics and really focus on them was interesting because I find David Byrne's lyrics can have this sort of, like, at times absurdness to them, which I think sometimes I kind of do, but also, like, profoundness and just sort of... almost like a mystical quality, and ambiguousness, which I find really interesting. I always found that a bit difficult to do. I was always writing very linear, very straightforward songs. Straightforward narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting for me to like really get into that more than I even had in the past, and I feel like that influenced some of the newer songs that ended up on the record in terms of like letting go of like there being like a director. So for a song like "Oh, the Wind Will Blow," I'm saying what I want to say in it about you know mortality and everything, but I'm not having necessarily straight up characters. There is a you and I and things like that in it, but it's not as clear.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like I got to grow a lot with this record too. So there's some older, tight, concise songs, and then there's some newer ones that are. I'm finding layers in them now, even just performing them, they're meaning something slightly, not different, but just, I'm approaching them differently now than when I record them, which is pretty exciting and fun to do that.
Oh, it's certainly, this record is a real departure from the early Bike Month and four-track songs we used to record, so, is this a path you're going to keep going down?
I think for now, yeah.
Yeah.
At least for another record or two. I might... I've been listening to lots of like more minimal, soft dance music, and I don't mean necessarily electronic. I mean more like a lot of Swedish stuff, like El Perro del Mar, and I don't know if you're familiar. And then also a band called The Whitest Boy Alive. It's one of the members of Kings of Convenience. It's his like dance band. It's just a little more minimal stuff I've been listening to, and a lot of it is like live arrangement even, but. Just like about having some sparseness to it. To back up, like the Bike Month stuff actually. Influenced how this new record came out completely, like, as well. I did my own thing, you know, I had a drummer and a bass player under the name Doug Hoyer before, and more of like a folk rockier kind of thing. I think you called out Busy, Busy, Busy?
Yeah,
like that kind of stuff, right? I was moving in that direction, and then I kind of realized after touring that EP, I was like, that's not really what I fully want to do. It was just like, I felt like there's enough people just playing guitar with drums and bass, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just felt like I'm not really exploring something new within myself with this at this time. It suited what I was doing for a while, but I needed to do something else. And so while I was doing that, I had also been working on these weird little jams on my four-track and stuff that were just weird, and I would sing lyrics almost spontaneously and stuff like that, not worry about what they're about or something. And then I would collaborate with more people on it. And then it wasn't even really a project until eventually it got a name for it and it became Bike Month. Released that 30-song album, and everyone was like, when's Bike Month 2 going to come out? So the next year, I worked on it and put out Bike Month 2 with a lot more collaborations. Joe raps on some of it and stuff. And so doing that and that process really actually shaped how I approached the new record. So I thought, this is great. People are just enjoying these fun jams, and they're kind of like hip-hop-y a little bit, but like, just like, what is that? Is that a keyboard or what, just having fun with the instrumentation. I thought, Doug, don't worry about the live sound. Just have fun with the instrumentation on this record.
Yeah, well, it's definitely shown that a whole lot of maturing over the past year.
Definitely. I think I'm a lot more mature than I was 2 years ago, for sure, I think.
Well,
sometimes to a fault. Sometimes I'm taking myself too seriously, and I need to back up and have a laugh for a little more. But, yeah, it's good.
Well, so your next show in Calgary is?
August 24th. At Broken City.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. It should be good. I'm really excited about Calgary. It's like such an awesome city that I never really got to go to.
You got a really good turnout for an all ages show on a Monday.
Oh, I think there's some Joe fans here tonight. Did do you want a song?
Oh yeah. Actually, one sec, 'cause.